Good morning. Yesterday, as we were doing some tasks here at the chapel, I saw Chris Mitchell and I realized that he was a sick man. And I am so sorry that he is not here to speak to you, for he prepared a message which is on his heart, but I am thankful that I humbly can say that I'm glad to help him out. Shall we just pray for him? Our Father, we thank you for our dear brother Chris. Lord, lay your hand upon him and raise him up again. And may he be a blessing to us as he has been in the past. Be with him. Just now we ask you, bless your word as we read it, and may it be a blessing to us, Lord, for we ask it in your name. Amen. I want to read to you just one brief portion from the Word of God, from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and beginning with verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. For a few minutes, I would like to ask you to think about the subject of redemption. A little time ago, I heard about some people who lived in America, somewhere, I guess, in the 17th century, and they were called Redemptionalists. Well, I thought perhaps this was another sect, but it wasn't. They were English people who wanted to come to America, this great land of ours. They didn't have the money for the passages. And so, in a sense, they sold themselves into slavery. That is, they would work over here until they had accumulated enough money to pay back the money they owed for their transportation. And then they were free. And they were entitled redemptionists because they had to redeem something. And we know what that was. Well, that word is used so commonly now that sometimes I think we've lost the meaning of it. Some years ago when we were in Israel, it wasn't too long after the Six-Day War, we traveled up to the north of the country, and on the roads there were some burned-out tanks. There were a good many Israeli folk on that bus, and they delighted to have their pictures taken in front of the derelict tank. They weren't worried about the men who had been in there and probably lost their lives. What they were rejoicing in was that their army had, in a sense, redeem them, but only for the time being. Temporary, yes, temporary. And then I remember a dear missionary friend of mine who's long since gone to be with the Lord. His name was Mr. Schindler. And as he was traveling around from village to village, he came upon a small group of Africans. And there in their midst was a man tied up, and they had captured him. And they were taking him back to their own tribe as a slave. So Mr. Schindler bargained with them, and eventually they agreed on a sum, and Mr. Schindler took over this man. Well, he said to him, "Now you're free, you can go." But the poor man said, "I live long way from here." He said, "I'll be your slave." Well, Mr. Schindler made it clear to him he didn't want any slaves, but this poor man decided to stay with Mr. Schindler, and so he did through the remaining many years of his life. Yes. And that was temporary too, because sooner or later, that man, like the rest of us, would have to die. Yes. Redemption, so far as we know it, with regard to things on this earth, are temporary. But what I want to speak to you now is that permanent redemption which we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus, the Apostle Paul gives us these words. He said, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." From all iniquity. Underline that little word, all. We live in an unpleasant world in some ways. Beautiful world, God made it that. But there are a lot of things which we don't like. And we can sum them up under this word iniquity. The deeds of iniquity. Well, we won't talk about that because it won't do us any good. We only have to open a newspaper to find out about all these troubles. Now, iniquity is the cause of all of the troubles in this world. Yes, it is. God's Word makes it very, very clear that sin, which is another word, synonym for iniquity, is responsible for all the unpleasant things, evil things, that we have in this world. You know, this all seems very simple to us who have God's Word. But one day, Martin Luther was talking to his superior, Staupitz. Staupitz had gotten rather tired of, Luther. Because he bothered him too much. He was always coming to him to confess his sins. And Staupitz had other things to do beside hearing this long record of Martin Luther's sins. So one day he said to Luther, he said, "The work of Christ has redeemed you from all iniquity." Well, that made an impression on Luther. And as you are well aware, a little later on, he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he found it was no longer necessary to trouble stop him. All he had to do was to confess his sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have some friends, did have, and they were walking along the streets of New York, and they passed a very large church, and a well-dressed lady said to them, "To what saint shall I pray?" Well, this dear lady didn't know that these were evangelical Christians. I don't suppose that would have made any difference. And they said, "You don't have to pray to any saint. You pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will redeem you from all your sins." Well, that was new to her, but she did it. And she came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and was a good friend of ours. And so, the conclusion is this, that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from all iniquity, which is the cause of the heartaches and troubles in this world. Well, to what are we redeemed? A lot of people don't realize that one day they are going to stand before God. I wonder how many think of that. I'm sure all in this audience have thought about that and made their peace with God, but there are a lot of people who haven't. Well, that's what the Word of God tells us, that one day we are all going to stand before God. And this is what Peter said, the Apostle Peter, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that he might bring us to God." Yes. And he believed that. And oh, how many others have believed it and found peace in their own soul. And here's another verse. "Every man will one day see God." Job said these words, "In my flesh I shall see God." And in Revelations we read, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Well, therefore, this matter of redemption is very important. Because if we are going to stand before God, it is necessary for us to be sure that we have dealt with this matter of sin. You know, missionaries go out to Africa and they have so many things to do. But most of them realize that their most important task is to point the Africans to Jesus Christ. And they give them the same message that Jesus Christ is able to deliver you from all iniquity. I could tell you so many stories about that, but as our time is short, we will pass on. I'm sure most of you have heard messages of this kind before. What part of us is redeemed? And this, of course, is a very important matter. In Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says, "I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit, soul, and body. Let's take the last one first. I have occasion fairly often to talk to people who are unwell, and I had that in Africa as well. So many people are ill, terminally ill, and I don't like that word. No. Some years ago, I visited a man in the hospital. He had been a robust, strong man. When I saw him, I don't even know whether I smiled, because I was shocked. There he was, in the hospital bed, and his face, his head looked like a skull. Those burning eyes looked at me, and he smiled as he greeted me. There was no question about the fact that he was dying. Yes. Well, I did my best. I read to him from God's Word, and we had a word of prayer, and I left. And I guess a matter of weeks after, I had gone to be with the Lord. It was a shadow of what he was. He was dying. But the Word of God tells us, as I've already read to you, the Apostle Paul's prayer, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that that man was going to get better? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What does it mean? It simply means that one day God was going to give him a new body, a resurrection body. You remember when we read the scriptures, we are reminded that Adam was created sinless and deathless. God never intended Adam to die. And of course, the medical folk tell us, point out to us, that this marvelous body of ours can rejuvenate itself to a certain extent until the years pass, and then something goes wrong and we pass away. Adam chose for himself death. Satan said, "You shall not surely die." He lied to him, and eventually Adam died. But one day he will be given a resurrection body, as we all shall in the day to come. There's a very interesting little story I like to tell, possibly because I didn't do all that I should have done. I was going along to some villages, and a man came up to me, a young man. He wanted to buy a testament. So I was very glad to sell him one. And I thought, well, that's fine. I didn't expect to see him again. About a week later, I was going through that village again. I noticed a lot of people standing around, and so I asked him what the trouble was, and well, I said, so-and-so has died. I didn't know who he was, but it's always courteous to go and sit for a little while. We have our visitation here, and we don't have that in Africa, but we sit down, sometimes say nothing, sometimes try to console the bereaved. So I sat down in this house. I didn't know who the person was who had died. I knew he was up in front somewhere in this little house. The wind, the sun was shining into the window. And suddenly, the sunlight coming through that window lit up the face of the dead. And there he was. the very same man to whom I had sold that testament. Yes. Well, you say to me, you should have preached to him when you gave him the testament. That was good advice. Too late. Too late. Well, I do trust that in the time between the selling of the testament and his being called away, that he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I don't know, but there he was, yes. Well, if he knew and came to Jesus Christ as his Savior, he too is awaiting for the resurrection day. Well, the one who gave us this salvation is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us that being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us another word, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. There is no other. There are a lot of religions. But there is only one Christ who can redeem us from all iniquity. But just one little thought, and with that I would like to close my message. When will our redemption be complete? It's not complete now, as I've already said to you. The redemption of our bodies will not take place now, but they will in the future. Job, you remember, who suffered so much because of the onslaught of Satan, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall send at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. Well, I can put myself into that, and I'm so thankful that I can. I shall see God, and I shall not be afraid, as so many are. And as we have those words in Hebrews, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How thankful I am that I can say this to you. That Jesus Christ redeemed me from all iniquity. And therefore, there is no fear in my heart. Sometimes we're troubled. I had a good friend, and his name was Ndokala. He was an African orator, very much better preacher than most Africans. And during the trouble up there, the government troops came. And he was sitting in a house with a group of men, all Christian. And for no reason at all, the soldier with his Sten gun just opened up and shot them all. They'd done nothing. They were not opposed to the government or anything like it. They never preached against the government. But there it was, an Ndokala amongst them. Well, I grieved over that because I thanked the Lord many times for the ministry of that man. But there it was. How can you explain it? The Lord allowed it for His own goodwill. I don't know, but it bothered me. But I'm not worried about him. Why not? because he had often preached that you are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his ministry, many an African had found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So to sum up our message, I can use these words. God gave his Son to redeem him. God the Father. Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood to redeem us, the sent one from the Father. The Holy Spirit of God keeps us unto the day of redemption. And how thankful I am that I am awaiting, like so many others, the day of redemption. Every member of the Godhead is involved in our salvation. And every member of the Godhead will be there in heaven when we come to that day which the Lord has appointed for all of us. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you for these beautiful verses which give us such assurance. We thank you that during our lifetime, since we have come to know you as Lord and Savior, we have not been in bondage. We are merely waiting the day of your calling. And we thank you that we are being kept through your blessed Holy Spirit. We look forward to seeing you face to face. And as the apostle said to us, to be with Christ, which is far better. Bless your word to each one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.